Wow, what a reading. I love it. I really do love it, being the second born of twins and knowing how twins can be so utterly different. And my twin sister and I are completely the opposite. And it's really amazing that it shows all the way through, and she's not even following the Lord. So let us pray for my message. Abba Father, I just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given me today. I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Amen. Right, the message I've read today is titled, Hold On to the Birthright. Amen. Your birthright is so important. But your birthright isn't necessarily what man plans it to be. So you've got to make sure you hold on to your birthright according to what Yah wants for you. So let us go back to Bereshit Genesis chapter 25, verses 24 to 33. When the time for her delivery came, there were twins in her womb. The first to come was reddish and covered all over with hair like a coat. They named him Esav, completely formed, that is, having hair already. Then his brother emerged with his hand holding Esav's heel, so he was called Yaakov. He catches by the heel, he supplants. Yitzhak was 60 years old when she bore them. The boys grew and Esav became a skillful hunter and an outdoorsman, while Yaakov was a quiet man who stayed in the tents. Yitzhak favoured Esav because he had the taste for game. Rivka favoured Yaakov. One day when Yaakov cooked some stew, Esav came into the open country exhausted and said to Yaakov, "Please let me gulp down some of that red stuff. That red stuff, I'm exhausted." And this is why he was called Edom, or red. Yaakov answered, "First sell me your rights as the firstborn." "Look, I'm about to die," said Esav. "What use to me are my rights as the firstborn?" So Yaakov said, "First, swear to me." So he swore to him, thus selling his birthright to Yaakov. And I want to go to the next slide, please, and read to you 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you testified so well to your faith before many witnesses." So Esav, when I look at Esav and Yaakov, my father's name was Yaakov. My grandfather was Avraham. My father's eldest brother is Yitzhak. It's all there in my family. Cousins of Ruth and David and Esther. So Esav and Edom are similar. They both lost their birthright through eating. Now Yeshua is called the firstborn, whereas Edom was actually the firstborn because Adam forfeited his birthright. Yeshua was like Yaakov, who took the birthright. Esav was red like Adam. Huh? How do I know Adam was red?
You were meant to be the dirt of the ground.
How do you know the ground was red?
Because that's where the ground is up there in Israel.
Not necessarily. I've seen ground in Israel that's not red. Okay, but I know that Adam was red because Adam means red. That's the name. That's his name. It means red. And it means red earth. Flesh eats in more ways than we can think. Eating fruit rather than keeping birthright is like allowing the flesh to have its way and putting fleshly things before spiritual things. Esav was more concerned about his flesh. He didn't care about what was to come or the spiritual things of life. He was more interested in the now. Give me that red stuff now. What use is my birthright to me? But the birthright is a promise of things to come. The birthright gave a double portion of the land to the son compared to the other son's inheritance. And of course, it doesn't matter how many daughters there are in the family and which one comes first. And I'm from a family of five, four sisters, and guess what came last? The son. He gets the double portion when my mother dies. And my mother's 98, she's still going. And my grandfather, every time a child was born to my parents, he would say, is it a child or is it a boy? We were just child. My brother was the boy. But he was a wonderful man in some ways. We won't go into my grandfather. So the birthright is the promise to come. And therefore, it points to the future. If we feed the flesh, we lose the promise. Yes, the flesh will enjoy the pleasures of now. And I know the adversary is only using that pleasure to take our eyes off the spiritual treasure that we have for the future and lose our birthright. We have to fight the flesh by faith and hold on to our eternal life. This is easy for some, but not for others. They struggle on a daily basis to stay on the straight and narrow road. But we have to fight the flesh and gain the promises. Yes, we can make mistakes, but we can also repent and get back on that straight and narrow. Adam had eternal life to lay hold of before he ate the fruit. Adam was never meant to die. He was meant to go straight to be with Yehovah. But he ate of the fruit. But we only get it if we fight the fight of faith. And resist temptation. Because we have Adam's sin in us when we are born. Well, can we go to the next slide, please? In Bereshit, Genesis 25:27, it says, the boys grew and Esav became a skillful hunter and outdoorsman, while Yaakov was a quiet man who stayed in the tents. So they were chalk and cheese, as I call my twin sister and myself. She says, yes, that's right, you snap and I bend. But that's the way she sees me, but she's neurotypical, I'm neurodiverse. So we're complete opposites. We should have known the outcome by reading verse 27. Why? Because it reminds me of Avraham, who was a tent dweller. Avraham didn't have a place to rest his head, he lived in a tent. Yitzhak lived in a tent. Yaakov was a plain and simple man who loved the basics of life. Esav, on the other hand, was an outdoors man or a man of the field. There was a lot of fleshiness in his character. And the serpent was the most crafty of beasts created that dwelled outdoors, according to our next slide in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any wild animal which Yehovah Elohim had made. Both Yaakov and Esav had his comfort region within. Yaakov's comfort was in tents and Esav's comfort was in the fields or outdoors. Both Avraham and Yitzhak, as I said, dwelt in tents, because nothing in this world was their inheritance. They were tent dwellers. If we go to the next slide, please, in Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 11, 8 to 10. It says, by trusting, Avraham obeyed after being called to go out to a place where Elohim would give him as a possession. Indeed, he went out without knowing where he was going. By trusting, or by faith, he lived as a temporary resident in the land of promise, as if it were not his, staying in tents with Yitzhak and Yaakov, who were to receive what was promised along with him. For he was looking forward to the city with permanent foundations, of which the architect and builder is Yehovah. Living in tents symbolizes that this world is not our home. Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov all lived in tents. Too many people of this world measure, and to many people of this world, our success is measured by our possessions in the world or the position we hold in our jobs. Yehovah does not look at the natural, but he looks at our heart and the spiritual journey that we are on. We actually have no permanent dwelling here on earth. Yes, we can build our own home, which is the Australian dream, but we cannot take it with us to eternity. We expect to leave here one day and ascend into glory. Before we do that, we have to return to the dust. This is a backward walk, not a forward one. Adam was meant to ascend into heaven and not be buried. His birthright would cause him to ascend if he had held on to it. But he lost the birthright by eating the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam then went back to where he came from, the dust. Avraham would have suffered the same consequence by going out and returning to Ur and to idolatry after Yehovah had called him out. He didn't. He stayed faithful. Hence, it was credited to his account as righteousness. Losing our birthright and backsliding or rejecting Yeshua after we acknowledged him as our Messiah is all synonymous. Can we go to the next slide in Kafer Bet, 2 Peter 2, 20 to 22. Indeed, if they have once escaped the pollutions of the world through loving our Lord and Deliverer, Yeshua the Messiah, and then have again become entangled and defeated by them, their latter condition has become worse than their former. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than fully knowing to turn from the holy command delivered to them. What has happened to them accords with the true proverbs, a dog returns to its own vomit. Yes, the pig washed itself only to wallow in the mud. So let us now look at the meaning of immersion. Immersion is a burying of all that is Adam or flesh in our lives. But this is only the first step. We have to bury all that is Adam within us. It's no good to us, and it is useless to Yehovah. We have to put away all our fleshly priorities, and that does not mean we are always successful, as the flesh can raise its ugly head, especially when we are tired, exhausted, overloaded by living in this fleshly culture that surrounds us. We are not perfect. We never will be until Yah perfects us to take us home. So don't beat yourself up if you fail. Fail is further attempt in learning. So if you fail once, then you start learning again. And it's a further attempt in the learning to walk in his way. We all fail. None of us has everything perfect all of the time. We'd love it, but it doesn't happen that way. Just dust yourself off and try again. And that's why King David said that Yah's mercies are new every morning. As we wake up each day, start a new day, and according to the Hebrew calendar, not the rabbinic calendar, the day starts just after morning. We wake up in the morning and then we've got day once the first slither of sun comes up. So that's why his mercies are new every morning. He doesn't say they're new every day and you follow a rabbinic calendar and they become new at the evening time, because you're asleep anyway. They've got to be new in the morning so that you can plan your day to start working and living according to Yah's plan for your life. And as I keep saying, if you've done the best you can do for this one day, you've done excellently. Tomorrow might be better. It's still excellent. Yesterday mightn't have been as good. But if it was the best you could do, it was excellent. Because if we fail during that day, it's just a further attempt in learning and we've got to start again the next day. Now, immersion is also dedication to not neglecting spiritual things for fleshly. And this is one of the reasons why we always have an immersion ceremony during the Feast of Hanukkah. One, the weather's perfect for it. Two, the water's not too cold. And three, it's the Feast of Dedication, where we set time apart to rededicate our lives to Yehovah, his son Yeshua, and to the Torah. Immersion is the time when we do that, to be able to die to self, wash away all of us, parts of us that are unclean, and start afresh. Can we go to the next slide, please? Hosea 12:3-5. It says, in the womb he took his brother by the heel. In the strength of his manhood he fought with Yehovah. Yes, he fought with an angel and won. He wept and pleaded with them. Then at Beit El he found him, and there he would later speak with us. Yehovah Elohei Zevaot, Yehovah is his name. In Bereshit 32:28 it says, then the man said, from now on you will no longer be called Yaakov but Israel, because you have shown your strength to both Yehovah and men and have prevailed. This was not a flesh victory. It needed faith for Yaakov to overcome. When you stand against the adversary, knowing Yehovah's word is true, you are fighting the fight of faith. It is like I said last time I spoke, you have to separate the facts from the truth and stand on the truth. And the truth are the promises of Yah. The facts mightn't look that good, but and you mightn't be able to see the truth, but you have to expect the truth. Yaakov fought two battles. He refused to accept the normal and excelled to the spiritual birthright, and he did that at his birth when he grabbed his brother by the heel, and again later in life when he took the birthright over the lentil stew. Yaakov fought with the angel for his blessing due to his birthright. Now Yehoshua, which is a similar name to Yeshua, also fought two battles. He refused to doubt with the other 10 doubters when they spied in the land of Canaan for his first battle, and the second when he entered the promised land by Jericho, and he saw a man ready to fight. even though the man's sword pointed straight at Yehoshua, Yehoshua knew that Yehovah would fight for him. What he didn't know was that this man was an angel from Yehovah who had come to fight his battles. It was the fight of faith. Can we go to the next slide, please, in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. It says, one day Yehoshua was there by Jericho. He raised his eyes and looked, and in front of him stood a man with his sword, with his drawn sword in his hand. Yehoshua went over to him and asked, are you on our side or on the side of our enemies? No, he replied, I am the commander of Yehovah's army. I have come just now. Yehoshua fell down with his face to the ground and worshipped him, and then asked, what does my Lord have to say to his servant? The commander of Yehovah's army answered Yehoshua, take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy. And Yehoshua did that. Have you heard that before? Take your sandals off your feet because you're standing on holy ground? Well, Yehoshua entered the place like his predecessor Moshe. Moshe, after they had both spent 40 years, a term of spiritual preparation for the battle, before they came to the place of this burning bush or this holy ground. Moshe, after 40 years, when he was deflated after slaying an Egyptian, saw the burning bush and was told to take off his shoes. Yehoshua spent 40 years after refusing to doubt when he was told to take off his shoes. And that 40 years, most of that 40 years, he spent in the tabernacle, sleeping in the tabernacle, pressing in to Yehovah. Can we go to the next slide, please, in 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, people will be self-loving, money-loving, proud, arrogant, insulting, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, uncontrolled, brutal, hateful of good, traitorous, headstrong, swollen with conceit, loving pleasure rather than Yehovah, as they retain the outer form of religion but deny its power. Stay away from these people. That's what Scripture tells us. There's a lot of people out there like that, an awful lot in this world today. Some people are like Esav. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yah. These people lose their birthrights. They say they love Yah to your face, but their way of living does not show the fruit of their lips. They could be sitting in this room today. They're certainly sitting in lots and lots of churches. The Amalekim, a thorn in Israel's side, came from Esav. We have to fight to stay on the narrow path. Yaakov fought. He fought with an angel of Elohim. Yaakov veritably said, I may not be perfect, but I have a desire for the things of Yah. And I have a birthright, so give me my inheritance. Israel fought to take over Canaan, even though Yah made it easy for them. To get your inheritance, you must continually fight the good fight of faith. The Scriptures show us men who fought in the Ruach. And Sha'ul says in Romans 15, 30-31, now I urge you, brothers, by our Adonai Yeshua the Messiah, and by the love of the Ruach, to join me in my struggle by praying to Yehovah on my behalf, that I will be rescued from the unbelievers in Yehuda, that my service for Yerushalayim will be accepted to Yehovah's people. And in Colossians 4:12, still all speaking, Epaphras sends greetings. He is one of you, a slave of the Messiah Yeshua, who always agonizes in his prayer on your behalf, praying that you may stand firm, mature, and fully confident as you devote yourselves completely to Elohim's will. And in the next slide, in Ephesians 6:13-18, so take up every piece of war equipment Yehovah provides, so when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist. And when the battle is won, you will be standing. Therefore stand. Have the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Put on righteousness for a breastplate. And wear on your feet the readiness that comes from the good news of Shalom. Always carry the shield of trust or faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of deliverance, along with the sword given by the Ruach, that is, the word of Yehovah. As you pray at all times, with all kinds of prayers and requests, in the Ruach, vigilantly and persistently, for all Yehovah's people. So we've got to pray for each other daily, each and every one of us. It's not just my job and Malachi's job to pray for all of you. You've got to pray for each other as well and pray for us. We all need it. We all need protection and prayers of like-minded people. We have to keep striving to stay on the straight and narrow path. We have to keep fighting the flesh and not be like Esav, who gave into the flesh. We have to fight like Yaakov, who did not give in until he had overcome. And even when it left him with the limp for the rest of his life, that was a reminder, wasn't it? He'd never forget that encounter. Not many people in this world strive against the flesh, against the tide, and against the flow. They are a minority in their workplaces, in their communities, and in some countries, not just Islamic. They are jailed, persecuted, and even killed for their faith. China is not an Islamic country, and yet Christians in China and all the house churches are being closed down as we speak. The tide is changing in China. You need to hold on to the promise and don't look at the facts of your situation. Next slide, please. Messianic Jews, Hebrews 6:4-6. It says, for when people have once been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, become sharers in the Ruach HaKodesh, and tasted the goodness of Yehovah's word and the powers of the Olam Haba, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them so that they turn from their sin, as long as that as for themselves they keep executing the Son of Yehovah on the stake all over again and keep holding him up to public contempt. And in Messianic Jews, Hebrews 6 and verse 12, it says, so that you will not become sluggish, but will be imitators of those who by their trust and patience are receiving what has been promised. A veil of flesh divides spiritually hungry from the flesh pleasers. The flesh pleasers' will is to break through the flesh. They will strive through the wilderness to get to the fruits of Canaan, a nation Yah wanted to annihilate because of their sins, so that the righteous Israel could live in that favoured land. Forget the garlics and the onions of Egypt. Go for the grapes of Eshcol and the milk and honey of the promised land of Canaan, was what Yehovah ordered. Sinners will always stay in the world and not strive for faith. Hope is fuel for striving. But what is faith? Well, let's go to the next slide. Faith is being confident of what we hope for, convinced about things that we do not see. We can't see it. Faith and trust are synonymous. They are exchangeable words in virtually every situation. We have to be careful that we don't become modern Esavs of today, who do not fight for their birthrights. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us keep paying attention to one another in order to spur each other on to love and good deeds, not neglecting our own congregational meetings, as some have made a practice of doing, but rather encouraging each other. And let us do this all the more as you see the day approaching." If we fight by faith, the adversaries are rendered powerless, for faith prevails with Yehovah himself. Adam lost his birthright and did not lay hold of eternal life. He should have fought the fight of faith. Faith comes from the word of Yah. And Adam knew the word of Yah. He knew what was clean animals. He knew what was unclean. He knew what was the Sabbath. He knew it all because Yehovah not only told him, but he also gave him the ability to name every single creature on earth. Adam must have been an amazing man. Faith comes from the word of Yah and only from the word. Your promises come from the word of Yah. Yehovah said to Adam, "You shall die if you eat the wrong fruit." By eating the forbidden fruit, Adam lost the birthright, died and was buried, returned to the dust. When believers are tempted to act in an unrighteous way, fight the fight of faith and don't let go of your birthright. It may not be lentil stew that you're tempted with, but temptation will come and make you let go of your birthright if you are not strong in your faith, for you have to fight it, and only you can fight it. Let me conclude with this last scripture. In Kepha Aleph 1 Peter 5, 8 to 10. "Stay sober. Stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand against him, firm in your trust, knowing that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kinds of suffering. You will have to suffer only a little while. After that, Yehovah, who is full of grace, the one who called you to his eternal glory in union with the Messiah, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen you and make you firm." So let me sum up now what I've been trying to say. Press through the veil of flesh and watch it rip. Yeshua made it in there to the Holy of Holies. Follow him, not the first Adam. Take the step of faith and go across that Yarden River. The fearful and unbelieving will not step in there. Yaakov passed the veil. He fought until he overcame. He went to where the tree of life was, spiritually speaking. The 12 tribes came from him. In Revelation, the tree of life has 12 different kinds of fruit, one for every month of the year. It also represents the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, 12 means divine government, which is another way of saying Yehovah is in control. Fruit of the Ruach came forth. The 12 tribes represent the fruit of the Spirit. Your flesh will doubt and wrestle with the facts of your situation, but you have to fight the doubt. Hope is fuel for striving. We have to take a leaf out of Yaakov's book. We must keep fighting and not let go until we receive our birthright.